want to invite you this morning to turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. This morning now we will finish the series of messages from 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. I want to encourage you to be here tonight, as Brother Chris Smith will be with us. You'll want to be here for that, and that'll begin at 7 o'clock as he'll be in concert here with us. And I want to encourage you to be here for that, okay? As I said earlier, we'll finish this morning our series. It's been a long-running series, as will the one upcoming here in a couple of weeks. That one will run all the way through through March, and I want to encourage you to be here for that as well, okay? And the title of the series that we've been going through is "The Church Continues to Grow by Certain Things," and there's certain things. And this morning Paul finishes writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he really lets the church know, as well as he lets the church at Grandview know this, that God is with them. So the church really continues to grow by realizing that God is with them. That is very important in the life of a church as well as the life of a believer. If this morning you don't realize that God's with you, you're going to have a hard time in life, to say the least. If you're there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16 with me, say amen. Amen. Now, the Word of God reads, Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark of every letter. This is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Father, this morning I pray now in the next few moments we have together that, Lord, we would realize that you are with us. God, for some of us, we may need to be reminded of that from time to time. And quite honestly, right here this morning, there may be someone sitting in this room. God, they need to realize that. Father, not only realize it, there may be some this morning that they've never, as we prayed earlier, never began that relationship with you, and today is their day. I pray, God, for the honor and the privilege of being witness to such, to see someone come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray to be witness to see someone, Lord, have their life rededicated to you this morning. I pray, God, for the honor to be able to see someone follow the leadership of your Spirit and, God, bow their knee here at this altar in just a little while. God, I guess what I'm praying is that we would be witness today to see someone's life changed by your hand. God, this is our prayer. In the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Wife, mother, and author Sarah Markley, who lives in Southern California, she writes a short story entitled "God With Us." And it reads, "We are leavers, serial leavers. We leave jobs and churches. We leave homes and neighborhoods. Sometimes we leave children and spouses behind. We are blessed with the means to leave most of the time. With cars that start or bank accounts that allow employment switches, we are fortunate to have running shoes to lace up, to run out the door when the argument gets too thick to work through. We leave friends behind. We leave homeless people on the side of the road. We leave someone alone when we know they need human comfort. We leave when things feel uncomfortable or when we see the promise of something better somewhere else. When it gets too deep or too painful, we just skip out. Most of all, we leave to protect our hearts. It isn't necessarily right, she says, but it's true. However, Christ didn't leave us. Instead, He came. His body was bruised and broken for us, but He came. His heart would be shattered by the heartache of the world, and instead of preserving Himself, He preserved us. His life would be stolen, but even so, He arrived. He arrived and He did not leave. Even when He left, He didn't. He would always be with us, He promised. He would give us someone else to care for us. He did not leave as we are prone to do. And even as His own humanity was prone to do, Jesus arrived because of His supreme love for each one of us. God with us. He is here. He is still here. Maybe the next time we are tempted to leave or walk away from the discomfort, we are inspired to stay because of the beautiful arrival of God to earth so long ago. It is hard to stay. Do you find in the fact that Christ came? What does God with us mean to you? What does it mean to you today? Paul writes here to the church at Thessalonica, the church, if you will, that many have said is the church with the right stuff. The church that did it right. And the last thing Paul reminds them of is this one fact, is that God is with them. Why is that so important? Well, just as it is here in the 21st century, as I'm sure it was in the day of this church, the church needs to be reminded of that because the church faces hard times. Here in the 21st century of the United States of America, the church faces hard times. And not only that, listen to this. As individual believers sitting in this room, as families sitting in this room here today, we too face hard times. But isn't it comforting to know by the Word of God, not based on what a preacher said, but based on what the Word of God says today, that God is with you today? It ought to be a comforting fact to know that. It ought to bring peace and assurance in our hearts and minds today. But the Bible, Paul, through this word, Paul gives us a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning. And maybe you want to write these things down as we follow along here in the Word of God. Paul gives us a couple of things. And the first thing that Paul tells us is this, is that we will have peace in every circumstance. Notice with me there at verse 16, in the first part of that, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says these words, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." Now that's kind of hard to swallow, isn't it? Because Paul did not say that God would give you peace only in the good circumstances. He did not say that whenever you're having the best time of your life and the great circumstances in your life, will He only give you peace then. No, Paul says in every circumstance, God will give you peace. He is with us today. He is with us in our lives. He is with us as believers. He is with us as a church. Peace in every circumstance. Notice this. Take your Bibles. If you're writing these down, you may want to write this down too. And turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Turn back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul, again, here writing, he is writing to the church at Philippi now. And here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, we find these words. If you're there, say amen. The Word of God reads, "And the peace of God, which surpasses or passes all comprehension or understanding will keep your hearts and minds in and through Christ Jesus. This morning, as I read that, I do this nearly every time. I'm pretty sure nearly every time that I, especially when I'm in the hospital or somewhere in that regard, I always pray that right there. That the peace of God be with this person. That the peace of God be with this family. That the peace of God be with these individuals. The peace of God that passes all understanding today. That's a peace that I cannot explain to you. I cannot stand up here and teach you. Now, this is what this peace is all about. The Bible says that we can't understand it. If we can't understand it, then there's absolutely no way to explain it or to teach it. It is something today that you and I have to experience firsthand. But notice what the Word of God says there as Paul writes to the church at Philippi in chapter 4 and verse 7. There's only one way that that can be had today. The peace of God that passes all understanding does not come from another individual. No, it only comes through Christ Jesus today. So that means this, and hear this well. If you're sitting in this room here today and you're saying to yourself, well, you know what? I've never really experienced the peace you're talking about. It seems as if the life that I'm living today is topsy-turvy. There is no peace that's found in my life. There is no peace that's found in my family's life. There's no peace in the work that I have. There's no contentment that I have experienced yet. Then you really have to ask yourself this question: is Christ in your life today? Is He? Is Christ in your life today? Because Paul, the Word of God, tells us this, that that is the only way that that can be had today. But notice a second thing here when it comes to peace in every circumstance, as the Word of God tells us there in 2 Thessalonians. There's a second point that's found to this, and I invite you to turn there with me. It's found in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians 14:33. And when you get there, you can say amen. Now, the Word of God tells us this: for God is not, a God or author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The Bible is very clear today that God is not the author of confusion. What does that mean? That simply means this, that if there is confusion, say for instance in the life of a church, a body of believers like this one, if there is a confusion found inside the church, the body of believers today, that is not of God today. If there is, listen to this, if there is confusion in your individual life today, and I'm not talking about being confused on where you're going driving around town. I still have the ability to get lost in Dothan, Alabama. I'm not talking about that type of confusion. I'm talking about a confusion in your life. Say, for instance, in the life of your family, that there is no contentment, that it is constant confusion. That, let's just call it like it is, that there is constant bickering, that there is constant arguing. Let's say in the life of a church, that there is constant bickering and arguing, backbiting, gossiping inside the body of the church. That is not of God today. That is of Satan himself today. He would love nothing more. Listen to this. He would love nothing more than to see our marriages totally destroyed. He would love nothing more today than to see our families annihilated, busted up, done away with. He would love nothing more today than to see this church at odds with one another. He would love nothing more to see us argue, bicker, fight, carry on all the time. Why? Because that now has drawn us away from where our focus ought to be, and that is on God. Now it is on what we think's right and what we think ought to happen. But the Bible says, notice this, for God is not the God of the author of confusion, but of peace. Notice the latter part of that verse, though. As in all the churches of the saints. That means this, that where there is a body of believers that are saints, and what I mean by that is trying their best to do what the Word of God says, striving to live what the Word says, then peace is found therein. In our homes, if we are striving to live the life we ought to live according to the Word of God, then peace and love is found in that home, a place where we want to be. And I praise God today as pastor of this church. Listen to me. I praise God today that inside the body of believers that is Grandview Baptist Church, peace and love can be found today. Amen. I praise God for that today. So the first thing we need to be mindful of is this, is that peace is in every circumstance according to the Word of God. But there's a second thing that Paul tells us and tells the church at Thessalonica, and that's this, that God is with us. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. In the latter part of that, verse 16, well, I'll just read it all to you. The Word says, now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Isn't it good to know today that God is with us? Isn't it good today that you know whenever you get up in the morning, you go to your job, maybe go wherever life may take you tomorrow, that God is with you? That God is with you no matter what life brings your way, that God is right there with you. Why is that significant to me, preacher boy? I'm glad you asked. I should have told you this earlier. We're going to be flipping back and forth through a lot of passages of Scripture. But flip back to Philippians right quick. Philippians chapter 4 again. Philippians chapter 4. And if you're writing these down, it's Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And this time we're going to look at verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. If you're there, say amen. Now the Word of God tells us this. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God, the first thing, if you're writing these down, the first thing when it comes to God is with us, He promises us that being with us means things such as the promise you find on the board behind me, and that is this. He has promised to supply our every need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 makes that abundantly clear. So whatever the need is that you and I have in our life today, He is faithful. He is faithful to provide those needs today according to His Word. Now, many people read that verse of Scripture and they automatically think, well, that's talking about money. Well, it is. Yeah, that's part of it. Let's face it today. We all need money to live. We all need money to keep our households going. Yes, that's part of it. But did you realize this today, that there's more to life than money? We have other needs rather than just money today. We have spiritual needs. We have physical needs today. We have all of those things. God is faithful to provide all of those needs for us today. But there's another thing when it comes to God with us and through His promises. The second thing is this, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know the passage on the board says verse 9, but I'd like for you to back up to verse 7 so that we can get the context of what's being written here by Paul to the church at Corinth, okay? Second Thessalonians chapter 12, beginning there at verse 7, the Word of God tells us this. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, Paul writes, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, and he has said to me, this is God speaking to Paul now, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ dwell in me. I love that. Paul is saying this at my weakest point. That is when I am the strongest. At the very weakest point in this frail human life, that is when I am the strongest. Why? Because Paul has quit relying on himself and began relying on God and nothing else. Many theologians and scholars have debated over what the thorn in the flesh was that Paul had that he speaks of here. I tend to lean towards those who say that it was his eyesight, that it was something wrong with Paul's eyes, that he had trouble seeing. The reason that I say that, if you'll notice back in 2 Thessalonians, you don't have to turn there, but the very last verse in that book tells us this. Paul himself says, I write this with my own hand. That's very important because when Paul wrote, or whenever a lot of the things Paul wrote were written down, he used what is known as an amanuensis, a secretary, if you will. And Paul would actually dictate to these people and they would sit there and write down what he was saying. So someone goes to reason that someone with bad eyesight, it'd be hard for them to write something because they couldn't actually see what they were writing. Paul says right here that he prayed to God, that God take that out of his life, that God would just remove that so he'd be able to do whatever he needed to do. The Bible goes on and tells us this, that God himself told Paul that his grace is sufficient. That at that very moment, in his weakest hour, that Paul, I am with you. My grace will sustain you. The power that I have is yours. I will see you through this. So knowing that, Paul himself said then he would rather glory in his weaknesses. That don't make sense. He would rather glory in his weaknesses. Why? Because at that very moment he knew that God was with him. Notice the third thing here. And it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He has promised us that he is with us. He has promised us that temptation, that you and I will not be overtaken by temptation. Now, you and I can fall into temptation today very easy. I guarantee you this, if you hadn't been tempted today, I'd be willing to say if you're a believer sitting in this room here today, before the sun sets tonight, temptation will come in your life. Some shape, form, or fashion, it's coming, okay? But notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and down to verse 13. All right, if you're there, say amen. Now the Word of God tells us this. No temptation has overtaken you but such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. Now follow me on this, church. Nowhere in there does God say, I'm going to remove totally the temptation out of your life. I'm just going to make your life a bed of roses where living for me is a piece of cake. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say that I'm going to today, your life is going to be so perfect. You're not even going to face one temptation. When you turn on the television, you won't have to worry about what you see on there. You won't have to worry about these alternative lifestyles. You won't have to worry about the language that's on there. You won't have to worry about the dress that the individuals are wearing there. You won't have to worry about any of that. In fact, everything will be fine. There'll be no temptations whatsoever. No, he doesn't say that. In fact, if I may paraphrase what he's saying here, he's saying this, that I'm going to allow you to go through it. I'm going to allow you to go through it. I want you to stand firm so that, and I will give you the strength to endure it, he says. But he's not going to put more temptation on you than you can handle today. Now, the question is, who are you relying on to overcome that? Do you realize today is God's with you, possibly when you're on the internet? Do you realize today that God is with you when you're watching television? And Lord in heaven knows today there's some shows on television that should never air in your home. That's just the truth. There's some things on the internet that your eyes should never see. Okay? And you may say to yourself, well, you know what, preacher? I'm just going to do it to see if I can endure it. Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know, God, give us better minds than that. Let's not tempt or test God today, okay? Let's try our best to live for God today, realizing that He is with us and that He will give us the strength to realize that we will not be overtaken by temptation. Temptation will come, yes, but He will give us the strength to endure that. Now, the next thing I want us to see is this, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. This is a passage of Scripture that you hear a lot at funeral services, and rightly so. The words that are found in this are so prevalent and so relative to that situation. Notice what Paul writes here. He's speaking about death. And the point that we're making here is this, that God is with us. He has promised us victory over death today. And the Bible tells us, Paul here, look at verse 56 where we'll start. Paul writes and says, the sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory of what? Victory over death today. It's victory today in our life over death. It's victory today to know this, that if Jesus Christ is in our life, that Jesus is Lord of our life, we have an eternal life in heaven itself. The world does not understand today when we read that there is victory in death. They don't understand that. They don't comprehend that fact. Paul himself said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain today. Why in the world would he say something like that? Because he knew where his eternal destiny was. It was with God in heaven today. The last thing I want you to see this morning is this. He is with us. God is with us. He has promised his people eternal life today. He has promised his people eternal life today. Very quickly, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Let's start back at verse 25. John chapter 10. And verse 25, okay? Get the context of what Jesus is saying here. John chapter 10 and verse 25, the Word of God tells us this. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, this bears witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give eternal life to them. You may want to underline that. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. That is very important right there. When it comes, and there's a sermon in that on eternal security. Okay, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one, Jesus speaking there of Him, the Trinity. Let me ask you this morning, because according to the Word of God right here, God promises His people eternal life. But there is only one way today to know that. In that regard, there is only one way today to know all of what we've went over here this morning. There's only one way today to know all of these things. Only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. To know that God is with us is to have Jesus in your life today. To be able to have all of these things that we've looked at right here today is to have Jesus Christ in your life today. If you do not have Jesus in your life today, if you do not know Him as Lord and Savior today, then today Jesus waits for you. He loves you right where you're at. Say, preacher, I've done some things in my life. Oh, my gracious, I'm so ashamed of. I've done some things here in the last year. I've done some things since this new year's rolled around. I wanted to start off on the right foot, but my gracious, I've made a mess of it already. You mean to tell me that Jesus loves me even though I've done such things? Yes, He does. And today, He will forgive you today of those things, whatever it is. So I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And this morning, I want to ask you, right now, to come to Jesus. Know for a fact that when you leave here in just a few moments, that God is with you. Not based on what a preacher says, but based on what the Word of God says today. The Bible tells us this, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was raised from the dead, then you will be saved today. I invite you this morning, right now, to come to Jesus. Father God, I pray in this moment now, during this invitation time, that Lord Jesus, we would see fruit, not for the glory of this church, but God, for Your glory and Yours alone. We ask this in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Brother Allen, lead us, please. Let us stand.